Everybody ready? Come on, let's go.
The Rick Flair Show! Let's go! The Rick Flair Show! Let's go!
Hey, yo, what's up? This is Rick Thorne. Welcome to my podcast. This episode, it's story time with Rick Thorne. I'll tell you some stories. Some injury stories. Man, have we had them all, haven't we? Haven't us BMXers? Don't we put our bodies through so much? I mean, how many injuries can we take before we say we've had enough? I'll tell you this much. Being a BMXer, you got to have a high pain tolerance, as well as a skateboarder and a motocross rider and all these sports. You got to have a high, well, UFC, I guess every sport, you got to have a high pain tolerance if you want to be a professional. You know what I mean? You got to be able to push it. You got to be able to overcome injuries. And able to deal with pain and deal with fear and all that stuff. And I've had a long list of crazy injuries through the years. A lot of like odd, random, different kind of injuries that normal people don't get in our sport. Crazy, like just. I mean, I remember one time I fell and I broke my face and I had to have my head cut from ear to ear. Now that's a whole nother story for a whole nother episode, which I will tell you one day. But today we're going to focus on the time in 1992 when I broke my dick. Yeah, dude, I broke it. Or I can't say I broke it, but I tore my urethra. But to me, that's the same goddamn thing. I broke that shit. And it was crazy, dude. It was back in 1992, and I lived in Kansas City, and I drove from Kansas City to Oklahoma City to meet up with Matt Hoffman, Steve Swope, Dave Mara. We drove in Matt's Astro van from Oklahoma City to San Jose. It was a bicycle stunt contest series. It was the first year. And yeah, dude, it was at the San Jose skate park. And I remember practicing for vert during vert practice. And I went up to do a manual, all right? It's a back wheel. You land on the deck and you go on your back wheel. You know, like a wheelie, and then you come in back in the ramp. And what had happened is that ramp was bigger than I normally had rode before or was used to riding. And I remember my sprocket had hit the coping, and I didn't think anything of it, but I should have checked it, dude. Like, listen, the worst nightmare for any bike rider out there is when your chain breaks. Because when your chain breaks, dude, it's like one of those things where you crash, and you're like, did that just happen? What happened? And if your chain snaps and you go to pedal forward, you're bumming, dude. Straight up. Well, here's what happened with me. I heard my chain hit the coping. I was like, oh, that sounded kind of weird. But I was dumb, dude. I didn't even think about it. I just didn't even look at my chain. And what had happened is one of the links on the chain had got busted. And so my chain was like barely hanging on. And at the time, I was kind of like, you know, the way I used to ride a vert ramp, people used to give me a lot of shit for it because I would hit an air and then I would pedal in between and then I'd do an air and then I'd pedal in between and I'd do an air. And I wasn't pumping the ramp as much as I was trying to pedal it. And it took me a long time to like stop pedaling in the middle and people used to give me shit, but like, I didn't care, dude. That was just my style at the time and that's what I did. And I rolled in the ramp, dude, and I went to pedal to get speed, and what had happened is my chain broke, and when my chain broke, I flew into the wall, the transition, and smashed into it full speed, and I racked myself on the stem of my handlebars, like my handlebar, my you guys, old schoolers would call it a gooseneck, you know, the gooseneck, on the gooseneck, man, on my stem. And I racked myself right there so hard, I was like, dude, that hurt like shit, what just happened, ow. And I was like, I limped off the ramp and everyone was like, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And I like went, I felt like I was bleeding, but I was like in denial. I was like, no, I'm not bleeding. And so I went to the bathroom and I went, and sure enough, I was bleeding. I went to take a piss and it was just all straight blood, dude, like a stream of blood. I was like, what is going on? What? And I was like, oh, denial. Yeah, I'm in denial. Maybe I broke a blood vessel. Yeah, that's what I did. And I was so lying to myself because I was scared, you know? I was like, oh my God, what just happened? So I remember I went and I told Hoffman, I said, hey, Matt, I think I broke a blood vessel on my dick. And I'm going to go back to the hotel and lay down for a while and see if it stops bleeding. He's like, what? I was like, yeah. He's like, you should go to the doctor. I was like, I don't have health insurance, bro. I'm just gonna go lay down in the, just meet me back at the hotel. He's like, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm positive. I remember this, waking up about 2 o'clock in the morning and my whole bed was full of blood. Like the whole bed was full of blood. And my dick had been bleeding the whole time. Just like drip, 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 drip. I was like, I didn't even know it. And I am at the time, Matt was in bed next to me asleep. That was back when we had like 8 people in a hotel room and we shared beds and everybody slept together. And on my side of the bed was all freaking blood, like completely blood. I was like, what the hell's going on, dude? Oh my gosh, stop bleeding, please. Please stop bleeding. And I wasn't going to. Like I went and I took a shower and I remember I woke up Matt and I said, dude, can you give me a ride to the hospital? Like this shit's not, it's not going to stop bleeding, bro. He's like, and he looked at the bed and he's like, dude, look like, you know, someone had just died. And I was like, yeah, dude, I'm dying. Let's go. And I lost a lot of blood apparently because by the time I got to the hospital, the urologist, he's like, hey man, like check it out. We don't know like if you have a tear in your urethra or not. So here's what we're going to have to do. And at this point, it's like, they called a urologist in. And at this point it was like, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning or something. It was really early in the morning. And I was like, well, what do we got to do? He's like, well, listen, we need to shoot like this fluid. We call it a dye into your penis. And we need to shoot an x-ray and we need to see if there's a tear in your urethra. I was like, what is going on? What are you talking about, bro? Shoot a dye. I'm like, what? He's like, listen, you need to sign this piece of paper though before we do this, because we're not liable of any side effects in the future. So if you have any side effects of us shooting this solution into your penis to see if you have a tear in your urethra, hey bro, it's not our fault. So you need to sign this waiver or this form. And I was like, what am I gonna do? I'm sitting there bleeding to death out of my penis and like, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sign it. Like, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to be like, the rest of my life or what's going to go on? You know, but I signed it and I've been fine ever since. Hopefully I have nothing come back from that. You know what I mean? To this day. And anyhow, dude, so they go and he shoots this dye into my dick and he shoots this x-ray and he comes back and he says, yeah, you have a tear in your urethra. And I was like, oh, what? He goes, well, we're going to put a camera down there. Just to make sure. I was like, what? A camera down where, bro? He's like, we're gonna put a camera into your penis, in your pee hole, bro. And we're going to see if you have a tear. I was like, what? No, no, you're not. No, no, no. No, you're not, dude. You're not going to do that. Okay, shooting the dye into my penis was enough. I don't need no camera being stuffed down my pee hole, bro. He said, too bad, sucker. Here goes the camera. Wick. He stuck a camera into my penis. And I was like, what is going on? Ah! And the whole time I'm still bleeding. Fucking wild. He's looking around. He says, oh, yeah, there you go. There's a tear right there. I was like, what do we do? He's like, we're going to have to put a catheter in. I was like, really? Like while I'm wide awake? He's like, yeah. I go, whoa. So now at this point, you've injected some dye into my penis. You put a camera down there. Check it out. Now you want to stuff a friggin' McDonald's straw catheter into me while I'm wide awake. He's like, yeah. Igor over here, this big old weird creepy looking dude with hair on his back, he's going to take you to the 7th floor and we're going to do it there. I was like, and so I remember we were in the elevator and it was like, 3 o'clock in the morning, bro, and no one's in the hospital. I feel like no one's there. Everyone's there. They're in their room. No one's around. It's so quiet. We go up to this like 7th floor, and I remember he wheeled me out. And I looked around, and there were like, it was like a scene out of The Shining or some shit. Like that movie, The Shining, like no one was around. I was like, am I at the Overlook Hotel? I'm like, what's going on? And I was like, dude, what is this guy, where's he taking me? You know what I'm saying? And the whole time, my penis is still bleeding to death. And so the dude takes me upstairs, man. And like, we go in this room and the doctor meets us up there and he stuffs a friggin', he lubes up this friggin', it was weird, man. It was like, I don't know if anyone's out there ever had a catheter or not, but if it's just, if you've ever had one put into you while you're wide awake, it's so violating and so it just makes you want to barf. Like shoved this thing at the end. They had like this thing at the end of this McDonald's looking straw, and he shoved it into my penis and it went up into my bladder, and then I felt like it blew up like a balloon, and it was wild, dude. It was wild. And then the next thing I know, I have a catheter, and then the tube goes out of your penis and goes around down, and there's a little bag, and that attaches down by your ankle. So when you piss, you know, that's where it goes. It has a little spout where you could drain it. And I was just like, whoa. But before I actually got that, it was just a big bag. And he said, look, here's a catheter, and at the end's a big bag. And actually, when you get back home, see your urologist, and he'll install like the thing that Velcros to your leg where you could, you know, go to the bathroom when you got to go. And you didn't, and when you have a catheter, you don't even know when you're going to the bathroom. It just kind of just goes, you know? So on the way home, so remember, I'm in San Jose, and I went to the contest the next day, and I just had on my hospital pants, and I had a catheter, and I had to carry the bag in my hand because it was super long, and it was just like a big, it was like a big pillow looking bag. Like imagine like a plastic pillow with air, you know, a little pillow like this big maybe, you know, and I had to carry it, bro. And I had blood all over my hospital pants. I remember hanging out and I just had on like shoes, my hospital pants with blood and no shirt with holding a piss bag. Like BMX, sick. And I remember like I went home and so I saw this urologist, I've always kind of tried to have fun with my situations, as you know, the cards that have been dealt. And I remember we were driving home and we would stop at like a gas station and I would go in the store and they'd be like, hey man, no shirt, no service. And everyone would look over at me and I'd have on like my hospital pants with blood everywhere, holding a piss bag, shirtless with no shoes on. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'll just mess. I always like messing with people just to get their shock, just to see their, you know, see how they would react. Anyhow, I get back home and I see a urologist, and he gives me the one where he cuts the slack off the urethra, gets rid of the bag, and installs this little thing that Velcros to my leg. And I had to wear that, for like a month. And like I said, at times you're like, dude, I didn't even know I was going to the restroom. You look down, you know, you go in the restroom. And I wanted to mention this. The second I got, before I went to see that urologist, actually, I got home, I had tickets to see the Beastie Boys, and I wasn't missing the show. So I remember going and getting straight out of an Astro van, driving from San Jose to Oklahoma, and then getting an R car and driving from Oklahoma to Kansas City straight to go see the Beastie Boys carrying a piss bag. I was like, what's up? You know what I mean? Sabotage. It was awesome. It was awesome. I was like, I'm not missing this show. And I didn't miss it. And it was amazing. And that's when then the next day after that show, I went to the doctor, and then I got the bag that Velcros to your leg, and, you know, got to still use the restroom. I mean, regardless, it's just, you just, like I said earlier, you didn't know when you were going. And so I had to wear that thing for a month, man. And the idea is, and how it works is, when you tear your urethra, when you have a catheter, your urethra heals around the catheter, so it doesn't heal shut. So like there's no like scar tissue or like when you, you know, it doesn't mess up the flow of like, you know, your urine when you have to use the restroom. And I will say to this day, I'm a freaking sprinkler, dude. When I pee, I'm like all over the place. Like it definitely messed me up. I gotta sit down when I go to the restroom. I'm just saying, like, otherwise I'm making a mess all over the floor, dude. It's gnarly. And it's been that way for years, bro. I remember wearing that catheter, and I got like about, I don't know, man, maybe like a week of being home, and I couldn't ride my bike. And I was like, dude, like, I want to ride, you know? And so I just started riding with the piss bag. And my friend's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, it's Velcro to my leg. Like, who cares? You know what I mean? I got the catheter. What's going to happen? Dude, I literally was riding hardcore with a freaking catheter for about 3 weeks before I had to get that thing out. And I remember, it's such a crazy time in my life. I remember in my backyard, I used to have this huge wall ride. It was like it was actually sick. I had a 7 foot quarter that went to a 7 foot tall sub box. And the landing was so big because it went downhill. It was like a 13 foot long landing and went straight up to like a 15 or 14 foot tall wall ride we had. So we had, but it was a banked wall. So it was like a 5 foot takeoff and you had about, I don't know, 7 or 8 feet that you can ride, and it was all connected, and it was awesome. And I remember we rode in my backyard a lot, and I was riding with that piss bag, dude, and I clipped on a wall ride coming in and flipped over the bars and blasted my chin wide open. And I'm laying on the ground now my chin's bleeding, and I'm laying there, and I'm like, and I have a catheter, and I look over, and I look at my leg to make sure everything's cool with the catheter, and then I look at the bag, and I was like, As I'm laying there, I'm like peeing in the bag and I didn't know it. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I had spiked blonde hair and I had on a leather jacket. I think I was riding with Doc Martens at the time. And I said, I got to go to the hospital again. And I recently had got home in that time and I got some insurance. The second I got home, I'm like, I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and pay for my own insurance. And I had just got on this plan, and so I needed to go get stitches. And that's before, like, I started super gluing stuff or doing, like, butterfly bandages myself. Nowadays, if I get a cut on my chin or something, I'm just going to super glue it. I've done that inside of my head and all kinds of shit. Like, you just super glue it. And I don't know if you know this or not, but super glue was actually designed for that, for dudes in war, soldiers, to do, a quick repair. If they got hurt, you know, during battle. That's what super glue was designed for. Anyhow, so I got to go to the doctor. And now I'm going to the doctor with spiked Billy Idol blonde hair, a leather jacket with Doc Martens, my chin blasted open, bleeding, I need stitches, and a piss bag. And I said, what am I going to tell them? What am I going to tell these fools? Because I just got on the insurance program and I didn't want to say, oh, I'm a bike rider. Because I always thought they'd be like, oh, we'll raise your rates. Even though this is before like mainstream media knew like what action sports was. And so I lied and I said, look, man, I was late for work. I was running out of the front door. I tripped over my piss bag and I fell down the stairs and cut my chin. And they're like, what? Your piss bag? What are you talking about? I go, oh, look, I'm peeing right now. And I pulled up my leg and I didn't even know I was peeing. And the bag was filling up and they're like, this dude's out of his freaking mind, dude. What's going on with this dude? Walking disaster. And so they stitched my chin up. And so now I got stitches in my chin. I got a catheter and I'm still riding. I go back and ride the next day. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to keep riding. Yeah, just ride it off. Do what you got to do. And that's how I've always been. I've always been like, just walk it off, ride it off. No, you know, I got no time for this. I got to keep moving. And yeah, crazy, dude, crazy. And so I came to where I had to have this catheter out. And I remember I was talking to Matt Hoffman on the phone and the State Fair of Texas shows were coming up. And he was like, yo, bro, like, you know, we're going to be at the State Fair of Texas again this year. And this would have been our third year there, I think, at the time. I don't remember. And the thing about their shows is we did 24 shows straight and 4 shows a day. And we got $100 a day. So that was $25 a show. So for me to make $2,400 in a month, and I got food money of like $15 a day, and I didn't have to pay for hotel and travel and all that. It was way better than bussing tables, dude. I'm there. I'm going. And I remember Hoffman going, hey, I know you have like this torn urethra thing going on. And are you going to be able to ride? I'm like, dude, count me in. Count me in, bruh. He's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. And I'm looking at my watch going, all right, well, let's see. I get my catheter out on Thursday. And then I leave to go to Dallas, Texas on Friday. He's like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm dead positive sure, 100% sure. He's like, all right, dude. All right, I'm going to count you in. If things change, let me know. I said, all right, I'll be there, bro. Let's do this. And I remember I drove to the urologist because I didn't want to miss those shows. That was my time. Like, dude, you have to understand, I don't want to be busting tables. I'm going to be out like just doing shows and feeling good and being with my friends. And I didn't care about the pain. I didn't care about the injury. I didn't care about like what anything else, but like just being in the moment and being there, riding with Dennis and riding with at the Oklahoma State Fair. I think that year it was me, Dennis, and Dave. And then Matt came in sometimes and Swope. And it was rad, dude. It was like, and I remember, I think Miron did some then that year too. And it was like, dude, that was a jam, bro. Like, I ain't gonna miss it over some torn dick shit. I'm doing it. I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna bust out. Don't matter to me. Don't matter. That's just me, though. Anybody listening, that's just me. I'm not saying you need to follow in my footsteps of how I handle pain with pain and injuries and stuff, but that's how I dealt with it. And I was like, you know what, dude? I'm going for it. 100%. Let's do this. And I remember driving to the urologist with this kicker because we used to lake jump. And I had this kicker ramp. I don't know, man. It was like maybe 4 or 5 feet tall. Me and Dennis used to take it down the lake and we would lake jump with all the homies. And I put it in the back of my Chevy Scottsdale that I had at the time. I said, let's do this. And I remember going in to the urologist, getting my catheter out, which was like a breath of fresh air. It was like when he pulled it out, I was like, 1, 2, whisk. I was like, whoa. What just came out of me? I just gave birth out of my penis. That's what it felt like. He pulled that shit out. Rack-a-cack-cack. I was like, damn. All right, let's do this. And so I remember that catheter was a nightmare. Like if you didn't keep like, it would just always get, it was always really, really uncomfortable, especially in the middle of the night. Like if you didn't keep the catheter kind of lubed up, it would get dry and it was gnarly, dude. You would be in a lot of pain in the middle of the night going, oh my God, like this is so gnarly. You had to keep it from drying out. And I remember when he pulled that thing out, dude, it was like a breath of fresh air. I was like, thank you, Lord. And so I went straight from the urologist to the lake jump. And because I had the kicker in the back. And like I said, keep in mind, I'm leaving the next day to go on tour with the homies and to be in Dallas for a month. And I wanted to learn backflips. And I sat in my bed when I had that catheter visualizing backflips. Only a few people were doing backflips. It was Mira, Hoffman, Dennis, Miron, and maybe a couple other people. But those heavy hitters at the time, ruling the sport, and I'm doing shows with them, and I'm the only one that can't do backflips, that wasn't going to happen. So I would lay in bed, and I would visualize, I'm going to do a backflip, I'm going to do a backflip, I'm going to do a backflip, I'm going to do a backflip. And I visualized what it would be like, and what it felt like, and what it would feel like to land it. And we learned back in the day that if you visualize, you're able to visualize, like gymnasts do that. Gymnasts visualize their motions, and they visualize like, you know, I actually saw a survey once, or they did this test actually where they took three groups of people. This is where I learned about visualizing. They took three groups of people. I read this, and they had the first group of people shoot basketball hoops for a half an hour. The second group of people think about shooting hoops for half an hour a day for 30 days. And then the third group did nothing. Didn't think about it, didn't shoot or nothing for 30 days. And at the end of 30 days, the people that didn't shoot at all sucked balls. They weren't good at all. The ones that didn't think about it or shoot. The people that shot baskets and the people that just thought about shooting baskets, the percentages were only a couple percentages off. Like there was only a couple percentages difference, meaning that like to think about it, was to put your mind there as just like as if you're doing it, but you're not physically doing it, but your mind is. So you're in touch with what you're doing. And that's what visualizing is. If you visualize anything you want to do in life, that's also the law of attraction. But if you visualize yourself doing something, like if I'm sitting there on a ramp and I'm going to do something, I visualize myself doing it before I do it, especially if I'm unsure about if I can or can't do it. Even though I know I can and I want to, I got to get motivated. I visualize the motion in my head. And I used to lay in bed and visualize all the time with 540s, with tail whips, with flips, with all kinds of stuff. After I learned that, I was like, I'm going to try that with BMX. I'm going to try visualize these motions. And so I visualized with backflips because I'm like, dude, I'm going to do this. I'm going to hang with Mira. I'm going to hang with McCoy. And it wasn't even like hang with, like competition-wise. It was just like, this is the boys. I didn't want to feel left out. I didn't want to feel like I wasn't part of like the show. I wanted to enjoy that with them. So they pushed me and they motivated me and they didn't even know it. And so I had this kicker in the back of my truck and I left and I went straight to the lake and I'd already done some backflips in the lake. I just had never tried them on jumps. And I had done them in the snow. Like before foam pits, we used to do stuff into the lake and into the snow during the snow season when they would put all the snow in a pile together in a parking lot. Anyhow, I went to the lake and I did a bunch of backflips into the lake and I saw the sun was setting and I'm like, dang, I'm leaving in the morning. I'm trying to get these flips in. And then I went over to my buddy's house that had a box jump and, my buddy Woody, he had a box jump and we laid down a mattress and there was four dudes holding a blanket. And I said, I did a backflip into the blanket and the mattress, but that shit was messing me up. So we took away the blanket and then I landed on the mattress on a backflip, came around and landed and I springed off and fell off the side of the ramp. And I'm like, okay, just take everything away. I got to do this backflip. It's almost dark at this point. Okay. And so let me recap. I woke up in the morning, loaded up the kicker ramp, went to the urologist, got my catheter out, went to the lake, did some backflips in the lake. Now I'm in the backyard. Here we go. The clock's ticking. You're leaving in the morning. What are we going to do? Let's go. Take away the mattress. Take away the blanket. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And I landed a friggin' backflip onto the top of the box jump right when the sun was setting. I was like, what just happened? I just learned backflips. Woo! Next day left for tour. That's how it was. That's how it was. And that's how I've always been. Tear your urethra, handle it, drive home, go see the Beastie Boys, ride, cut your chin, keep it moving, keep it going. And I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm definitely not saying I'm wrong. I did something right. I'm doing something right for me, what I could handle, how I am. I'm not saying everyone's this way. You be however you want to be. This is how I am. This is how I handled it because I wasn't going to be left out. I wasn't going to be left behind. Nothing was going to get in my way, even to this day, on what I love to do and what I want to do. And so I was like, dude, let's go, let's go. And I did not tell any of those guys I learned backflips. I probably would have in this day and age because everyone's got phones and you probably would have saw it on my Instagram or something. Or I would have called you, dude, or I would have FaceTimed you, what's up, bro? But back then we didn't have that. I was just like, I'm just going to tell these fools in the morning because everyone was leaving to meet up and we were going to meet in Oklahoma the next day. And I remember we were practicing for the shows and before we set up and stuff and we were practicing the shows, I remember I did a backflip and everyone was like, what? And so we were able to complete the show at the end where it would be like me, Mira, McCoy, we would all flip the box at the end and it just was better than like me 360 in and then both of them backflipping. It didn't seem like it would be as cool. And I'm glad that they pushed me, even though they didn't know they pushed me. I'm glad I pushed myself. And, I think the only downfall to all of this and the whole story, if there is a downfall, is I got to sit down when I pee. You know what I mean? And that's about it. That's about it, Tony. You got to sit down when you pee, but it's all right. Yeah, I'll be all right. I deal with it. Keep going, man. Keep going no matter what it is you do, whatever it is you love to do. Keep going. Don't let anything get in your way. I've always just tried to use the cards that's been dealt with me as motivation and a way to stay positive and a way to like just keep my eye and my mind on the prize and what I want to do because I do believe that life is very short. And we're only here for a very small time and you definitely got to do things to make yourself happy and you got to put in the work. And Anyone out there listening, thanks a lot for listening. Subscribe, tell your friends about my podcast. I'm going to keep telling more stories. I'm going to be interviewing different people, just all different types of stuff. Once again, thanks a lot for listening. Do what you got to do, and always and forever stay rad. Thanks, guys. See ya.